We know enough to say that this was an act of terror and an act of hate. We will not give in to fear or turn against each other. Instead, we will stand united as Americans to protect our people and defend our nation and to take action against those who threaten us.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the program today. Welcome to another edition of The Opening Bell, and welcome to another business day. It is one of those days when the business of life is overwhelmed with death, and the situation that transpired over the weekend in Orlando on everyone's minds, and certainly will be front and center during our coverage throughout the morning here on 720 WGN. But not a bad day to take stock, not in the markets, but in your life, perhaps, and with those that are around you. As you head off to work today, maybe you say, how are you, with a little bit more sincerity, and really find out how your coworkers are and on those around you are. It's certainly what we're doing here at WGN and we'll be doing throughout the morning. We will also be covering the business of the day as well as we move through. But just off the top, how are you? Hopefully you're well. And let's move forward and try to deal with this and find solutions. That's probably the best thing that we can do today. But the most important thing is take stock in not the markets, but in your own well-being and those around you this morning. Let's begin with the overnight market intel on WGN. You heard Vic there give you some of the market numbers and some of what's happening right now around the world. We'll tell you from the WGN market desk that Asian shares slipped today amid uncertainty over what the U.S. Federal Reserve might do. This is a big week there. The Federal Reserve meets later this week to set interest rates, possibly. Also, the exit from the European Union for Great Britain. A new poll over the weekend shows now that more and more people are supporting Brexit, as it's known. The Federal Reserve had been expected to start raising interest rates, but now appears likely to remain in a wait-and-see mode. The policy board holds a meeting later this week, investors closely watching what happens there. Speculation rising again over Britain. Friday, the Dow Jones Industrials lost about 119 points. The benchmark U.S. crude oil this morning at $48.50 a barrel. The dollar fell against the yen and gained against the euro. Other news of the morning, the U.S. government and FedEx are set to do battle in federal court in San Francisco over the explosive claim that the shipping company knowingly delivered illegal prescription drugs such as Ambien from a pill mills to dealers and addicts, some of whom died. Also today, Dish says millions of its subscribers lost access to one or more channels last night because of a fight over how much it should pay for the channels. A channel owner, Tribune Media, says its local stations like CBS, CW, and Fox reach more than 5 million subscribers, and those channels went away last night for all 7 million Dish customers. It is Monday, so that means it's time for our CEO spotlight this morning. And we begin with LeClick. Click is the name of the app. It is a Chicago startup. And in our Allstate CEO discussion this morning, we begin with the CEO of that company. And you know, I have to ask first, you know, what is it that makes you tick? What gets you up and gets you going?
For us, Click is all about connecting people, and it's really the stories that we hear from people that use the app that connect with others. Whether it's we have a group that moved out to LA and they really use Click to just meet people there and like kick off their social life. Those kind of stories are the things that kind of make me get up and keep working hard at it.
Is it something that drives you in terms of, like, do you have a passion for business, technology, all of the above?
Yeah, I mean, I actually would go back to kind of the connecting people thing. I've always kind of been the person that wants my friends from different groups to get to know each other. I think that humans kind of connecting with each other makes the world a better place, and actually find that, you know, with tech, you'll hear the stories about kind of how technology has been the hyper communication, everybody being connected all the time, has actually closed people off in certain ways. You know, like I think about my friends from growing up, and we've been in constant communication since we were little kids, and it's actually in a way kind of like made us a little bit more insular, I would say.
Yeah, because there are people who argue that as much as they think that technology separated us, it really has brought a lot of us together.
Yeah. No, I mean, and in some ways it definitely has. And there are people, you know, whether it's a Facebook friend that you maybe wouldn't have connected with again. But in terms of like real human interaction, you know, like when people kind of go out and they're being social, we feel like people have actually kind of gone the other direction.
So where did you get the idea for the company?
Yeah, I mean, it actually kind of relates to that core group of friends I had kind of growing up and how we've stayed so close. When we started going out in Chicago, we kind of like looked back on our first summer here and realized that we had been with the same, you know, 10, 20 people over and over, going to the same places over and over. And there's this vibrant city out there with tons of people, cool people that we should be meeting, and new places to go to that we didn't know about that other people could tell us about. So that was kind of the spur for the idea.
Did you see a vacancy in this area? I mean, obviously people are probably thinking in their minds, well, there's Facebook. Did you see a niche that you filled?
Yeah. I mean, so the closest related company are like dating apps, honestly. I mean, a lot
like
of
Tinder or something like that.
Yeah. So kind of the real time communicate with somebody that you don't know yet. And so the real hole was with groups of friends and not dating. Right. So there's no good technology out there for real time connections between two groups of people. There's some people that have tried and failed, but ultimately we feel like it's a huge hole, especially, you know, we focus on getting people together in person, like in real life. And we really focus on that. Whereas others, something like Facebook might focus less on getting people together in person and more like digitally.
We're chatting with Nick Wejerak, the CEO of Let's Click. Click is the app, a Chicago startup. Let's Click with a Q, Let's CLIQ.com.
From ABC News, Wall Street Now, investors kick off the week on the defensive, fleeing to the safety of government bonds. The Dow closed 120 points lower on Friday at 17,865. The S&P was flirting with record highs at midweek, but fell back on Friday. The NASDAQ dropped 64 points. The Federal Reserve had been expected to start raising interest rates, but now appears likely to remain in a wait-and-see mode. The policy board holds meetings later this week. Investors are closely watching for comments by Chair Janet Yellen. The U.S. government and FedEx are set to do battle in federal court over the explosive claim that the shipping company knowingly delivered prescription drugs such as Ambien from illegal pill mills to dealers and addicts, some of whom died. FedEx has denied the charges. And six airlines have now won permission to resume scheduled commercial air service from the U.S. to Cuba for the first time in more than 50 years. American, Frontier, JetBlue, Southwest, Silver Airways, and Sun Country plan 155 round-trip flights per week. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
It's 520. Welcome back to the program. And the Allstate Estate CEO spotlight today is Nick Wejerak. He is the CEO of Let's Click, click.com. It's an app, friends get together kind of app. And Nick, before the break, we were talking about just sort of your background a little, what gets you going. Let's talk a little bit about the nuts and bolts of the app. Tell us exactly how does it work?
So they form a group with their friends. We call it a click. So you form a click with your close friends. It's 2 to 5 people. And then say you're looking to go out during the weekend or whatever night, you open the app, you see other groups of friends that we algorithmically kind of match to you based on your interests and where you are. And then you can connect with them from there. So you can send an invite, say, hey, do you guys want to meet up? They say yes or no. And then once they say yes, we suggest an offline activity. So say we have like an art fair that's close by that you should go to, or a concert going on down the street, or even a deal we have going on at a bar close by. We suggest something to do.
So that's the difference between you and, let's say, Facebook or one of these others, is this algorithmic setup that you just described. Mm-hmm. How does that work?
Yeah, so when you log in with Facebook, we pull in all your interests, stuff you like to do. And then all your friends, everything everybody likes to do, where you are location-wise at the time. And then we have, on the back end, we have kind of a whole list of events and things going on that we, you know, whether it's manually entered in or stuff we just pull in. And then we suggest something to do based on all that information.
And so let's say I'm one of the people that's gets a recommendation of a click or a person. How do I know whether I want to accept that? Can I accept it? Can I reject it?
You can. Yes, yeah, so you can accept or reject it. And you get to see like the other group, and you see their pictures, like where they went to school, stuff like that. If they seem interesting to you, you can say yes or no.
And so the interesting thing there is not just one person; it's a group of people.
Yep. It's always groups connecting.
Is it always that you have to connect with the group, or if you see a couple people from that group, can you just connect with them?
Well, ultimately, it ends up working out that way because you might have, you know, four friends on there and one's out of town or two are out of town, and then you end up meeting up with, you know, a slightly different group, which we're totally okay with as long as, you know, you're getting people together in person.
You've mentioned a couple of times this is for, you know, getting in touch with old college friends, or it suggests a sort of a younger maybe demographic. What is the demographic that you're trying to reach with it?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it is definitely a younger demographic. I mean, it's just people with more time that, you know, spend more time out and doing things around the city that you know, my older sister has two kids and they don't have much time to even go out to dinner with their friends, so let alone use an app to meet up with people. So, yeah, I mean, it's generally, you know, right after college, 22 to 30 range. You know, we tend, single people tend to have more time, so we tend to skew towards single people. But again, we're not a dating app, so.
Yeah, and the way I've seen this is that it not only can connect you with people, but events as well.
Right.
Which is kind of nice. You can meet people, but also you see events that are happening.
Right, that's right.
Is that one of the selling points, do you think?
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely when you go up and talk to somebody about it, that's one of our big things. Again, we're focused on getting people together offline. We feel like events makes total sense right there as something to, as a way to connect people.
And coming up, we have a Lollapalooza. And you're going to be involved with that somehow in terms of arranging clicks for that.
Right. So, yeah. So we heard from tons of our people that, you know, Lollapalooza, it's 4 days long. There's tons of downtime where you're just sitting around in a group. And it'd be a great opportunity to use Click to meet up with another group that's also at the show, at the festival. So we'll have a special setup for people that are actually at Lollapalooza. They can check in and they can meet up with others at the event.
What have been the challenges in getting to the app to this point?
I mean, I would say Chicago is historically a B2B town or business to business company town. So starting something that's so consumer facing and actually social in nature is something that people don't see often here. So it's more difficult for companies like us to raise money here. That's for sure. And then to that end, there's also less talent in the space. Like we've actually been very lucky and found some really good people in the space, but it's definitely harder to find that sort of talent.
And the kinds of talent that you'd be looking for are what?
Like iOS developers, Android developers. I mean, there's plenty of them here, but there are just more in San Francisco and more in New York. But also even, you know, we have some data analytics stuff that we need to get done in terms of real users and people interacting with the product and how to figure that out. It's actually taken me a good while to find people that fit that mold, but we finally have done that.
We hear regularly on this program that Chicago is an up-and-coming community where this all is involved.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen the evolvement? Is it moving in that direction where someday you might not have a problem?
Yeah, I mean, I think at the end of the day, you're still going to... Silicon Valley is still going to be the centerpiece for companies like this. But, you know, Chicago's definitely moving in the right direction. You've seen some big exits, and I finally have found, you know, a good number of other founders in the consumer space. So, yeah, I would say it's getting better, and we're all just getting smarter as time goes on as well.
What is in your background that helped prepare you for this?
So I was a finance guy for 3 years after school. I would say also, you know, I was also a sports guy in high school, and I think dealing with the ups and downs of a season back in basketball years and senior year of high school has really prepared me for the ups and downs of being an entrepreneur, because there are certainly ups and certainly downs.
And then from a personal standpoint, is there a happy medium? Do you have that balance that everybody says CEOs should have in their life?
In terms of, you know,
being, you know, work, have the work and life and fun and do you have Zen?
Yeah. I mean, I'd say I have Zen. I work, Jonah Ellman, who's my cousin, is our CTO. So, and we hang out all the time. So it's, you know, we're kind of always talking about work. So, but it's, at some point it just becomes part of your life. So it's you could still have balance, I think, and always be thinking about it. It's hard not to be.
ABC News. Tech trends. Predators may use online gaming to target kids. According to the FBI's website, there are 750,000 predators online at any given time, and they could all have a virtual key to your house via the internet.
It really is a frightening reality for parents.
A lot of online games have multiplayer features where you are connected to people all over the world. Whether that's live chat over a microphone or live chat on a keyboard, you can be connected to almost anybody. Parenting expert Erica Suter says parents need to talk to their kids.
The best thing you can do is tell them the potential dangers in an age-appropriate way. I think it's really interesting. We think nothing of telling them of stranger danger in the real world. Well, the same should go online.
Suter says kids need to be told to keep personal information personal. Never give out names, photos, or their parents' information. And turn on the invite-only setting for gaming chat rooms to keep unwanted visitors out of the conversation. With Tech Trends, I'm Karen Chase, ABC News.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
It's 5:37. Welcome back to the program. If I had a choice this morning, I would be less stressful. My computer would work. I wouldn't have red cheeks. I wouldn't have steam coming out of my collar. You know, maybe even go do a little yoga before the next interview. It doesn't really work for me, but it could work for you. And our next guest here on The Opening Bell is all about well-being for your mind and body. Let's welcome into The Opening Bell Eric Langshire. He's been committed to health and well-being forever. He's written a new book, and it's called Start Here, Master the Lifelong Habit of Well-Being. Eric, welcome to The Opening Bell.
Good morning. I'm happy to be with you.
We're glad to have you. Let's start with something. You're obviously an expert at dealing with, you know, stress. I can't think of a more stressful morning as we look at the headlines and see what happened in Orlando. Do you have any words of wisdom that'll help those of us who are struggling this morning push forward?
Well, sure. You're exactly right. Stress is all around us, and you know, the pace at which we're living just continues to increase. And of course, the news cycle with what's going on in the world is just, it's extreme. And the thing is, well-being is a skill that can be trained. And really, that's what Start Here is about. And that's really what I'm up to, is helping people understand that we can train our brains for happiness and for well-being. We can do it in a way that's, it's really integrated with our lives, and we can bring it into the workplace to, you know, to help ourselves and to help each other, not just be happier, but essentially more productive and more focused.
Does it focus on ignoring some of the stressful things, or do you deal with the stressful things and then incorporate the things that help you deal with them better? What are our first steps?
Yeah, it's a great question. The first step is understanding that well-being is a function of where we place our attention, where we place our thoughts. So William James said, my experience is what I agree to attend to. And we've all experienced that. We all know that if we dwell and we concentrate all our thoughts on our anxieties and the things that are going on in the world around us, on external conditions, we can get really ramped up and really stressed. And we know what that feels like. Conversely, we can really begin a practice, and it is practice because it takes practice. It takes work. It's like exercising, right? We want to train our bodies for fitness, so we move and we exercise. The exact same principles work for our brains. Our brains are are, you know, what the scientists refer to as neuroplastic. They're really malleable. So we can exercise our brains that physically changes our brains, which changes our experience of being alive, and in the process can materially reduce our stress.
I once saw a documentary about some of the big thinkers and doers of our time. One of them, Tesla, the other, the Einstein, and they all seem to have some sort of meditation going on. One would do, I think they described it as thought dreams, where he would just, you know, kind of close his eyes and have. Is it possible to do that? Is that kind of what the focus is here? Is to sort of, you know, is meditation a big part of this?
Certainly is possible, and yes, meditation is a part of it, but it's certainly not the only part of it. And I think to your point, there are a lot of different ways to meditate. Really, meditation is a family of practices. We don't have to retreat to a cave and live in a monastery to really incorporate these practices into our lives. There's many, many micro moments where we can bring our attention to what's going on here and now. We've all heard about the present moment. We've all heard about presence. There are a lot of tricks that we can use to incorporate just the practice of bringing our attention to the present moment, to what's going on, and really bring them into the living of our everyday lives.
So we won't need to haul around a yoga mat and some incense with us as we embark on it.
That's exactly right.
So what are the numbers here, since we deal with a lot of numbers here on the opening bell? What are we talking about? How can this benefit us? And what are the numbers in terms of how does it affect productivity, reduction of stress, or increase of happiness?
Well, you know, the great questions, and the place to drop into the numbers are to think about really what's going on in terms of the stressors. For example, Kleiner Perkins did a study a couple of years ago. On average, we check our cell phones 150 times a day. Right? We are massively distracted. 1 in 8 Americans are on antidepressants. 1 in 7 Americans, you know, report that we have some sort of sleep disorder or trouble with sleeping. And the numbers are really quite scary, in fact. And what we've learned through our Life Cross Training program, which we brought to businesses like, you know, Deloitte Consulting and organizations like Kirkland & Ellis, really mainstream law firms, investment firms, media companies, advertising companies, the data on how we can actually not just train the skill of well-being for the people, but improve productivity and outcomes for the business are really compelling. So, for example, we've measured 26% increase in productivity, 43% increase in energy, 23% decrease in stress, and then I think really importantly, a 33% increase in happiness, which, by the way, is a hugely important statistic in terms of people's willingness to stay with a company, with retention, with recruiting, with reaching millennials, you know, and also equally important with baby boomers.
And you touched on something there with the mention of millennials, and that is looking at screens. There are some researchers who say screens may be the end of us all, because they are, you know, it is taking up our lives to the point even where people are checking these things while they sleep, or they wake up in the middle of the night and do that. Do you agree with that? Are these potentially dangerous things moving forward?
Well, you know, there's two sides, right, to all of these issues. We as a society, we as a people have benefited, you know, so intensely because of these technologies. They've improved our lives in so many ways. And we also know that left unchecked, they can consume us, right? It becomes very addictive, very habit-forming. So the trick is to use what we know, what science informs us, how to change habits, how to manage habits, so that, you know, we are living at the effect of these technologies, but we're using these technologies to improve our lives. And we know how to do that. And, you know, in fact, we talk a lot about it and start here. When we teach in the Life Cross Training program, we actually teach the science of habit change. And technology use is right at the core of that. Because to your point, you know, left unchecked, it becomes very seductive 24/7.
The issue, I guess, is whether you got to make the decision to do this, I suppose, is the first thing. But once you do, the numbers that you mentioned there, the percentages of how you're going to just basically feel better and do better are pretty significant. Let me ask you this. Do you have a sense of, what it is about people that they don't embark on this? Or is there something holding them back? Is it fear? Do they not have the backing of family? I mean, what would stop somebody from moving forward with some of your suggestions?
Yeah, I think it's a really interesting question. I think people sometimes just don't know. I think it might feel overwhelming to people. Like, it's very complicated. In fact, I got, 10 years ago when I really started studying and working the scientific angles of and the philosophical angle of all this knowledge, I didn't know where to turn. I didn't know what to believe. There's a program here, a program there. It seemed massively complicated and overwhelming. Part of our work was to distill this wide body of philosophical thought and scientific knowledge into the most efficient program so that we can go from A to B, and B being a less stressed, more resilient, happier, more focused place in the most efficient way possible. So, getting at this in a in an efficient way, I think, is very much on a lot of people's minds.
Eric Langshire, I understand you're going to be be in the Tales from the Trenches coming up on June 23rd. Is that still available for people?
Sure. I think there's still open sign up through Matter.
It is June 23rd, by the way. It's 6 o'clock p.m. You can go to Eventbrite. We'll link you to it as well. But, Eric, thank you for being with us this morning. Eric is the author of the book Start Here, Master the Lifelong Habit of Well-Being, published by Simon & Schuster. And their subsidiary, which is, I believe, tell me what the publisher is again.
North Star Way,
that's correct. And you can find it at bookstores now. Eric, thank you, and we'll take some of your advice to heart.
Terrific. Thanks very much. Great to be with you this morning.
Thank you. It's 5:47. This is the opening bell. Let's check in again on traffic. Mary Vandeveld.
Starting to see delays outbound side of the Kennedy into Nagel River Road to Mannheim. It's already up to about 24 minutes out to the airport, so just be aware of that. No delays inbound. The inbound side of the Eisenhower is building Mannheim into First, and some delays Cicero to Kedzie on the inbound Stevenson, 30 from the Tri-State. Dan Ryan's up to 18 from 95th to downtown. Also, a hit-and-run accident being investigated at North and Dearborn. Traffic sponsored by Four Wins New Buffalo in nearby Southwest Michigan. With 3,000 slot machines, over 60 tables, games, award-winning dining, luxurious accommodations. For gaming, for dining, for entertainment, for adventure, Four Winds Casinos, escape the everyday. Mary Vandeveld, WGN Traffic Central.
June is Pride Month. Learn more about it from WGN Radio and Tracy Baim, editor of the Windy City Times.
World War II had an impact, I think, on the whole United States. African Americans came back from the war and said, look, we fought for our country. We're going to fight for our rights. And the burgeoning homosexual community, a few things happened. One is that many of them were moved out of their own hometowns to serve the war. Whether that was women who served the war as Rosie the Riveter, or it was men who served the war overseas, it was a changing experience for them. Many of them, really, when they came back, were not going to go back to their hometowns. So Chicago was one of those urban areas that really benefited from all these people staying here after the war. They might have been stationed at Great Lakes and might have moved here from Iowa or Ohio or wherever it might have been nearby that wasn't as open. The community in Chicago started to really be more bold in being out and proud.
Watch more stories like this at WGNradio.com. The Salute to Pride on WGN Radio, sponsored by Jewel Osco. Your community is our community.
I hate cleaning my gutters. I kept hearing ads for that gutter guard system, so I thought, why not? I'll get an estimate. I was shocked. I never thought gutter guards could cost so much. Then I heard about Spring Rock gutter guards. The estimate is free, so it made sense to at least compare them. I was shocked again by how much money they saved me. I'm talking thousands, like enough to take my family to Disney World. They take a different approach to gutter protection. A completely closed design keeps all types of debris out of your gutters. Sure, those higher-priced systems may keep the leaves out, but SpringRock gets the job done at up to half the price with no compromise on quality. SpringRock also comes with the same lifetime warranty. If the gutter system ever clogs, they will clean it out for free, no questions asked. Same result for less money. That's smart. There's more than one option when it comes to gutter guards. Compare today and save at springrockgutters.com or call 708-571-0632. Special financing is available. Drain your gutters, not your wallet.
This summer, Goodman Theater proudly presents the world premiere musical, War Paint. Two-time Tony Award winners Patti LuPone and Christine Ebersole command the stage as Helena Rubinstein and Elizabeth Arden, legendary cosmetics titans whose infamous 50-year rivalry gave birth to an industry and forever changed the business of beauty. Says the New York Times, Patti LuPone generates more raw excitement than any other performer on Broadway, and Christine Ebersole is a first-class revitalizing master of period style.
From the creators of the Broadway hit Grey Gardens, War Paint runs June 28th through August 14th only. Get the best seats and prices for this limited engagement today at goodmantheater.org or 312-443-3800.
Brilliant innovators, fierce competitors.
Patti LuPone, Christine Ebersole.
War Paint. Let the battle begin.
Wish I could relax in my yard like this, Jerry.
Oh, come on, you got a great yard.
Yeah, crazy with mosquitoes.
Ah, you gotta call the squad.
The squad?
Yeah, the mosquito squad. They give me my yard back. Julie was good with it, because it helps prevent West Nile. No complaining kids. And they get ticks, so old Max is happy too. Go to MosquitoSquadChicago.com. Enter promo code WGNRadio and sign up for their seasonal package. And next week, we'll enjoy your yard. MosquitoSquadChicago.com. No bugs, no bites, no kidding.
The Midwestern University Multi-Specialty Clinic in Downers Grove offers a comprehensive patient-centered healthcare experience at their Family Medicine Clinic, Speech Language Institute, Physical Therapy Institute, Dental Institute, and Eye Institute. At their clinics, you'll receive quality care from a team of highly qualified faculty and students. Learn more at mwuclinics.com or call 630-743-4500. That's 630-743-4500. The Midwestern University Clinic, your family's home for health care.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
It's 5:52 on the WGN Market Desk. This morning, Dow futures pointing lower, off about 69 points this hour. The S&P 500, NASDAQ futures lower as well. Let's get the latest on commodities this morning. Good morning, Ori and Samuelson.
Steve, good morning. And as we begin another trading week, we look back last week at the commodity market and wonder if we can again do some of the unusual things that happened last week. A weather rally in the grain market because of impending heat. And that's about the earliest I've ever heard a heat forecast having an impact on the markets. But the big thing that happened last week, the longest bull run in the soybean market in 43 years, as we saw soybeans trade higher several days during the week. Meanwhile, in the livestock trade at the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, live cattle futures closed lower on Friday. Funds became active sellers, and at the end of the week, cash cattle in the Southern Plains, the cash cattle bids were at $128 per hundredweight. That's up from mostly $125 early in the week a week ago. So we'll wait and see if we can duplicate some of the excitement in this week's market. Monsanto, the world's largest seed company, still has not opened its books more than 2 weeks after it rejected Bayer's $62 billion acquisition offer. So Bayer is still waiting. And finally, this Saturday, Drendel Dairy Farm in Hampshire, Illinois, June Dairy Month, breakfast on the farm. Steve and Johnny will be there. I'll be there. Steve Alexander will be there. We hope you will, too. Have a good day. I'm Orion Samuelson.
Thanks, Orion. Just a couple of other notes before we leave you this morning. Later on today, Apple executives will don their finest to get up in front of the crowds. It's the annual Worldwide Developers Conference. We'll find out more about Siri. We understand she might be getting smarter. There'll also be a preview of the new iOS. There'll also be a preview or rebranding announcement about OS X. Also, they're going to clean up iTunes a little bit, Apple Music and iTunes. There's also going to be an expansion of Apple Pay. It, again, is the Apple Worldwide Developers Conference. which is later on today. Also, there is a new survey out by Bankrate today, finds 2 out of 3 18 to 29-year-olds don't have credit cards. Analyst Mike Cetera.
Our survey found that while a majority of American adults own a credit card, the younger adults, those 18 to 29, are really wary of credit. In fact, almost two-thirds of millennials do not own a credit card.
Cetera says they're not only wary, but they're pushing into dangerous territory because getting a credit card often is a first step toward building a credit rating.